church of today is going to look more and more like a state church, because it's going to be riding the back of the beast.
Absolutely. That's right.
And actually, the beast is already, the beast is already with its controls of, you can't really preach from the pulpit what it is. I mean, you can't call sin sin, because, it's not politically correct anymore. So if you don't do things right, you lose your rights of tax exemption. Well, that's a noose around your head. You're not free to speak.
Preacher in the Netherlands got put in jail for a while for preaching against homosexuality.
Yeah. They said he was reading right out of scriptures.
Mm-hmm. I was watching a movie last night.
Hate Crime.
Reynolds in it, one of the older movies, and he was the king of England at the time that the church split, and that's how he got rid of his first wife and married another wife because he wanted a son, but that woman didn't have a son. He married this other one, and she had a daughter, and she didn't have a son either. So he used the Pope or the church to accuse her of adultery so that she could be
beheaded.
That was Henry VIII. Mm-hmm. Huh? That was actually a movie about Henry VIII.
Yeah, but I'm saying
that's how the Church of England started.
He used the church to get rid of his wife.
If you want to get rid of somebody that was, say, a servant of the Lord, you just riled up the people to call them heretics. Now, I can tell you that in the days to come, the saints are going to die at the hands of these that raise up this beast to be inflamed against the people of God. And they're going to do the same thing. They're going to call them heretics.
They couldn't kill Jesus, so they had to get Rome to do it for them.
They're all going to bow down to the beast, and they're not even going to know it's the beast. Kind of like in Daniel chapter 3. Have you ever read the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 3, folks?
Oh, yeah.
The image of the beast, there was all world ruling nations in one body. And who was the head? The great eagle of Babylon. That's right. America is at the head of the image of the beast in our day. And you know what they were doing? They were commanding the people of God to bow down. They were using, by the way, the beast was using the herald. Verse 4, the herald cried aloud, "To you it's commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, so on and so forth, that you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up." The golden image is being set up, and you know what? The herald is the word preacher in the New Testament. The only Greek word in that text is the word preacher. The preachers are going to command their people, God and country, pledge allegiance, to this image of the beast, to the head of the image of the beast, and bow down, submit to it. And they're doing it now, folks. Be careful of the God and country stuff that goes on, folks. Don't pledge allegiance to any kingdom of this world. They're all of this world. They're all of the devil. Did you understand?
Cross the heart when they pledge allegiance to the flag.
So, you know what, folks? In the Bible, twice, it tells us that the devil is the king of Babylon. That's right. You think, because of patriotism, that your country is the best. And of course, a lot of people feel that way. Even in Hitler's Germany, the church sided because of patriotism with Hitler. You understand that the church did that. Okay, why? Because of the same spirit of patriotism that was in those people. And today, the church in America thinks that everything that George Bush does is right when he goes over there to slaughter multitudes. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was the same way, folks. Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind and ate the grass of the field for 7 times. And he became with the heart of a beast, the Bible says, to devour grass. And Peter said, all flesh is as grass. And Nebuchadnezzar devoured much flesh. He devoured many peoples, to keep his kingdom alive and to protect it. than those that would want to destroy it, and so on and so forth.
You had a Nebuchadnezzar, and you had a Nebuchadnezzar son of Nebuchadnezzar, and you got a bush and son of Bush, and you got a lion with eagle's wings, and you got a lion with eagle's wings here with old ancient Babylon and new Babylon, modern day Babylon.
You got the false prophets up there that are causing people to bow down to the king of Babylon. Did you know that?
And the king and the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, took his people and became the king. He was the king of Babylon, the typology today over there in the actual physical Babylon. Bush is now the king of Babylon. We rule in that nation right now. Also, that nation went to war and went against and took the people of God, okay? The people of God were carried into bondage, but also when the people of God were carried into bondage, the Lord told them to put their head into the yoke of King Nebuchadnezzar. So what I would say is two things. Be very careful about this radical Christian movement that's going to come upon this nation before too long to save this country. See, all this kind of thing right now that's brewing with this Christianity of this woman that's, don't pull the tube or pull the tube and things like that. There's a big thing that is boiling here in this nation. And what ultimately is going to happen is there's going to be people that are going to stand in a physical kind of way to come against this nation in the name of Christianity, that are going to not want to give up the things of God when this nation turns the other way. And the Lord never told us to take up a sword. And what's going to happen is many of the people of God are going to be killed. And it's going to also bring on a hatred towards Christians when this unrest comes. And the king of Babylon went in, and not only did he take, those nations in that area there, where we're looking at Iraq right now, took that area right there. He also took Syria, and he also took Iran. And folks, I don't know if you know it or not, but that's the next ones that are on the hit parade, if you're listening and watching what's going on about this nuclear crisis that we got going over there, and commanding Iran to no longer pursue nuclear weaponry or production of nuclear material. So.
No, the people are not behind Bush to go over there and do that right now. I looked at the statistics, but I tell you what, when America gets hit again, they will be behind him again to go out there and do the same thing. See, the Lord is ordained to use President Bush to bring those nations into subjection and to bring them to a lot of devastation. The Lord is ordained to use him for that. I'm not saying as a Christian, because Christians don't kill people. I challenge you to read James chapter 4, 1 through 5. It's very, very plain. That's someone who is a harlot who believes in doing such things as that. I'm going to read it to you just in front of it. James chapter 4. Everything serves God. Even Nebuchadnezzar served God. God called him in Jeremiah 27, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. And he called another pagan king of the Medes and the Persians his servant. You know why they were his servants? Because they conquered his people who were in rebellion. And it says in James chapter 4, whence come wars, whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and you have not, you kill and you covet and you can't obtain. You fight in war and you have not because you ask not. What's the matter with prayer, folks? What God's people should be doing, if they were Christians that led this country, they would be asking in prayer for the things that they need. They wouldn't be going out there trying to take it. You know? Listen, verse 3 says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you spend it upon your pleasure. You adulteresses. Those people that war are adulteresses. The word actually means who break your marriage vow to God. You adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? You see, the harlot is friendly with the world, making war with the world, because they don't understand that the kingdom, this is not the kingdom of God doing this. This is a kingdom of the world doing this. The world wars with the world. But we are commanded to resist not him that's evil, to love our enemies, and to do good to them that despitefully use you, to turn the other cheek. We're commanded to do those things. Of course, the world is not going to do those things. Even the world in America is not going to do those things. So don't worry. America will do its best to defend itself and will ultimately fail. Will ultimately fail. That's right. I've heard some false prophets. I've been hearing false prophets. They preach in Babylon. Let's see, I got one right here. I'm going to read it to you. It talks about that you've got a president who prays. This man said that basically the things that are coming about right now was going to bring America into 50 years of peace. Because you've got a president who prays. Well, I'll tell you what, this is a false prophet of the first magnitude. He's like a broken record, bowing down to worship President Bush. And he's a prosperity prophet, just like all through the Bible. You know, when God's people were in apostasy, the people who preached peace and prosperity were the false prophets of Babylon. And the lonely prophets that stood up and spoke the truth, that no, you're going to your cross. You're not going to peace and prosperity. No, you're going into a wilderness. You're not going to fly away. No, you know, those lonely prophets, they were outnumbered 400 to 1 sometimes. Did you notice? Well, folks, these prosperity prophets are still alive today. They preach in a prosperous system, the big temples and lots of TV, you know. They cannot be trusted. They're liars.
That was how many prophets of Baal that Elijah put to death. Mm-hmm. 400, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And Ahab, when he went to make war at Ramoth-Gilead and tried to get it, Jehoshaphat joined with him. And God sent one lonely prophet, Micaiah, in the midst of the 400 prophets that prophesied to Ahab, go up and prosper. 400 prophets said, go up and prosper. Go to war and prosper. And one said, I saw all Israel as sheep without a shepherd. And Ahab said, I knew I didn't like you. Because you don't ever prophesy anything good to me. You know? Of course, if a true prophet would show up on TBN, they'd probably throw him out of there. The truth is, Ahab is wanting to make, right now, war with the world. And 400 prophets are saying, go. Much of Christianity is behind this administration to go and make war on the world. But you don't understand. Read the rest of the story, folks. When Babylon conquered those nations, they came back and conquered Babylon. See, the Christians who are pushing this administration to go out there and conquer their enemies over there before they come over here, they're about to start the biggest mess the world has ever seen. More death and destruction the world has ever seen. All because they didn't obey what Jesus commanded as Christians. Instead, they decided to go and kill and fight with the world. Instead of principalities and powers, they decided to go and fight with flesh and blood, which we're forbidden to do. And it's all coming home, folks. What you sow, you reap. You can't go and bring death and destruction to other nations without it coming back to you. It's coming back. It's coming back. What you sow, you reap. Repent quickly. No, there isn't any Christian administration in any nation on this earth. If it was, what would happen to them? Christ showed up. Did they make him king of Israel? No, they killed him. So, do you think a Christian could become a president of the United States? What does Christian mean?
Walking as Christ-like.
Yes, Christ-like. Can you imagine Christ sending armies out to butcher people that he sent the gospel to? No, folks, this is of the world. All that's of the world. is of the evil one. Everything that's of the world is of the evil one. If it's not born out of heaven, it's of the world. Do you understand? If you're not born from above, the part of you that's born from above is just like Jesus Christ, speaks the same thing, believes the same word. The part of you that's born from above. And the rest is of the world and has to pass away. See? If you're not for me, you're against me. If you don't agree with what Jesus said about warfare, then that part of you is Antichrist. Repent. See? The church that's pushing George Bush and his administration to go over there and would be so happy for them to go and jump on Iran, don't realize that Iran's going to start one of the most terrible wars with nuclear weapons, and they're not going to stop them from... They are not going to stop them from having nuclear weapons. Listen to me. They're going to have them. They're going to use them. Will they go in there and conquer them? Probably. But, I mean, just like Babylon did in Jeremiah 25, they conquered Iran too. They conquered Syria too. The eagle conquered Iran and Syria. But guess what? Those nations gathered together and destroyed Babylon after that. History repeats. Things that have been are the things that shall be. You can't sow death and destruction without it coming home to you. See, that's the deception of patriotism, as you think we're in the right. Well, there's only one in the right on this earth, and it's Jesus Christ. And he's not taking sides with any worldly nation. You say, is he using America to bring down the Middle East? Yes, he is. And he will use the Middle East to bring down America. Mark my words. It's already written in the book, folks. Read it. Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah 27, Jeremiah 29.
You can't
relate. Isaiah 50 and 51. Go ahead.
I was just thinking that you couldn't really ever honestly say that America as a nation was ever a godly nation, because it was a worldly nation from the beginning.
There are no such thing as godly nations. There are godly people, but never a godly nation. The only nation that's godly is New Testament spiritual Israel, whose circumcision is of the heart. But that's not a worldly nation. That's a spiritual nation, you see. Those who are circumcised of heart are members of the one holy nation that Peter spoke about in 1 Peter 2. And you, if you're born, the part of you that's born from above is a part of that nation. And the part of you that agrees with the world and the principles of the world is Antichrist and has to die. We have to lose our life to gain our life. We have to lose our Antichrist life to gain our Christ life. If you don't repent, that'll never happen. See, we bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. What's the rest of it? It's Antichrist. The flesh is at enmity with God. It's the enemy of God. That's Antichrist. We have to lose our life. We have to repent. See, God is creating an atmosphere for His people to repent. Because His people have pledged allegiance to America, America will make war on His people. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, get ready. Because America is going to hate you, Christian. And if it doesn't hate you, then you're not a Christian. Repent quickly. Get prepared. Find out what Christian is. Read your New Testament. Get filled with it. Get prepared for what's coming. Get in the tower that the brother spoke about earlier. Get in the tower and climb all the way to the top, to a place of safety. There's a flood coming. You know, there was a sister who came here years ago. She saw the tower. It was a lighthouse. And she saw the water coming up. And everybody had to get in that lighthouse and get all the way to the top, because the water of the flood was coming in to destroy the people. God was giving her a spiritual vision of the things to come. And only the people who were white could get in that tower. Only the people who had white robes on could get in that tower and climb to the top. So repent of your old sinful ways and abide in the Word of God. Abide in Christ. In the name of Jesus, which is the tower. Right? Abide in His name. Again, folks, you know, I would love to see a great revival sweep this land and bring multitudes into the kingdom. And I know a revival is coming to this land in the midst of much persecution. A revival is coming. and bring many fully into the kingdom. that are right now playing around the edges of the kingdom. This is coming, folks. That's what I want. But you're about to see a very ugly beast rise up in this land. And in many lands. In fact, all over the world. You know, I realize that we have people listening to us all over the world right now. And I want to tell you that all nations are coming together as a one world order. And it is Antichrist. And it will be a one world order in order to come against God's one world order, which is the people of God. The beast is going to make war on the saints. So, repent and get in God. If you don't need, dead men can't be killed. And that's what we need to be, dead men. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Can't kill a dead man. You can't even offend him. So repent and get in Jesus Christ. Abide in Jesus Christ, the Word. Because when you have a love for the world and you have a spirit of patriotism, which makes you worship it, which is basically a worship of the image of the beast, okay? When you have that, you got to get your eyes open. There's one way that God has to get eyes open in that way, and that is that He shows His people that America is not His kingdom. It's not a kingdom of His world. Of His, He said, "My kingdom is not of this world, and neither is America God's kingdom." And He will prove that to you by bringing America against you. You will be hated of all nations for My name's sake. His name is His nature, character, and authority. See, God is coming for those in whom Jesus lives. His name's sake is in them. And the crucifixion that's coming by the world is going to manifest that namesake in God's people. Praise be to God. Get ready. It's coming. The peace and prosperity that a lot of your churches are preaching is not going to happen. Anybody have a question, Terry? Or a revelation, Sheriff?
Yeah, we have lots of stuff coming.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Let's see. I have talked with so many who say they have done this, gotten to the Word with the Holy Spirit themselves, but the doctrine that they espouse is tithing, pre-trib, or mid-trib rapture, God heals through doctors, etc. How can you answer when they claim they got that jump directly from the Holy Spirit during personal Bible study?
Well, they got it from a spirit, all right. But it couldn't be the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's not going to disagree with the Word. So, you know what? All of this is a trial, folks. Everything that's going on out there is a trial. Even Babylon is a trial. It's a trial to see who loves the truth. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 tells us that God is sending strong delusion for those that don't love the truth. And they will believe a lie.
And
that's what the Bible says.
Strong delusion is so prevalent, I doubt seriously that any person has come up with that all by themselves.
No, that's true. There's so much. There's enough to go around out there, folks. Strong delusion, and it's not just one deception. It's a multitude of deceptions for people that don't love the truth. It's kind of like in Jesus' day, all the false doctrines that the Pharisees had and taught to the people that they loved to hear. You know, today it's the same. There's no difference. And the trial is: will you agree with all of the Word of God? Will your doctrine fit in with all of the Word of God? Because the truth is nothing left out. And, you know, the pre-trib, all fly away doctrine has to leave a lot of Bible out. And the tithing thing you mentioned, you know, of course, you have to leave the New Testament out, basically, in order to accept that false doctrine that makes you feel justified before God. Get into the New Testament. Find out if these things are true. Search out your salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah, Terry?
Next one. Jonathan was having... things that the Lord was showing him something about Isaac Newton sitting under a tree. It's instead of an apple tree being a fig tree. He kept seeing this, or had a dream about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he says God was trying to show me something last night, and then Jesus saw Nathaniel approaching him, or John, I can't remember, but
verse or chapter, but verse 47, where Jesus saw Nathanael approaching him and said to him, "There truly is an Israelite without deceit in him." And Nathanael asked him, "How did you know me?" Jesus replied, "I saw you under the fig tree."
Uh-huh.
And it was one of those, a connection between Isaac Newton sitting under the apple tree. And of course, in the dream, it was a fig tree.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, you know, Isaac Newton got a revelation when the apple hit him on the head.
Mm-hmm.
And so did Nathaniel.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Never thought about that one. That's good. I don't know. I can't say. I mean, what the Lord gave you is a dream. Well, obviously, yeah. He's wanting to show you something there.
And also, Nathaniel was called to be an apostle. I mean, a disciple.
Mm-hmm. Disciple of Christ. Yeah. And he recognized Jesus because he wasn't full of deceit.
Right.
He recognized Jesus. Those disciples that were drawn of the Father to recognize who Jesus was are types and shadows of the people in these days who recognize the truth when they hear it and recognize the Word when they see it, you see. I'll tell you, folks, get in your Bible. Ask God to draw you in there and read it and read it and read it so that you'll recognize the truth when you see it, because strong delusion is out there and it's coming even worse. And for those that don't love the truth, they will buy these lies. It will be the multitudes that do it. See, folks, the majority of what's called God's people will, listen to me, they will fall away. It's history. History always repeats. 10 out of 12 tribes worship the image of the beast. Listen, folks, it's going to happen again. How many Israelites fell in the wilderness, folks? Listen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Who are the chosen? Well, when you go to pick, you go out into your field to pick fruit, and the fruit, of course, we found out is Jesus Christ in you, right? You pick fruit, you're picking somebody that's in agreement with the Word of God. Think about it, folks. There's a multitude of people out there in these days that don't agree with the Word of God.
God has never been God's way to deal with quantity.
Nope.
It's always been quality.
It's quality.
And it's the only one that qualifies for that is Jesus Christ.
Many are called, few are chosen. How many times did Jesus say that?
No.
Paul told Timothy that the Lord saved us and called us. We are called. We are the called who are saved. There's no such thing in the Bible talking about calling people who are not saved. That's not the calling that God's talking about. He called His own servants, the Bible said. Always that way. He didn't call the world, He called His own servants. See, many are called, but few are chosen. Why? So many of God's servants are so full of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life. They don't have any time to follow the Savior. They don't have any time to sit as a disciple.
You said one time that if you donate more time to God, God will give you more time to donate to God.
Give and it'll be given unto you, right? That's not just money, folks. You give to God, you give to His kingdom of your life, and He will give you more time to serve Him. I told the Lord many, many years ago, I said, "Lord, I don't have any time to work for a living. I need to work for You." And you know what? Before long, the Lord made opportunity for me to have more time to study the Word. I told the Lord, I said, "I don't have time to go to work anymore. I need to study the Word." You know what I mean? God was just drawing me into the Word. And before long, He made that opportunity. Wasn't me that made it, nor chose it. He did that, you know. Pretty soon, folks, there are going to be a lot of people walking as disciples of Jesus Christ. Just what we see in the Bible. With the power of God. And having no interest in the things of the world. Their interest is souls. Just like Jesus. Their interest is to promote the true gospel, just like Jesus. And pretty soon the world is going to plunder you and take away your rights and take away your jobs. And you'll realize that we only have a short time left. I might as well do the Great Commission like I was supposed to do in the beginning. Right? I mean, listen, this is the heart of God, is the Great Commission. Get prepared, because God is going to send many of you out there with this Great Commission. And you're going to see signs and wonders and miracles just like the first disciples did. And it'll be a thrilling time. a great and terrible time. You know,
I was just thinking about the job I used to have with paramedic. I knew in my heart it was taking up all my time, and I didn't see any end to it, but God did. He put an end to my job and gave me all the time I needed.
Praise God. Praise God. Have a question, Jerry?
Let's see. Eagle 1726 from Africa is asking about 1 Corinthians 14 and 32.
1 Corinthians 14 and 32.
Yeah,
so Mr. Eagle from Africa, huh?
I don't know his first name, but he's from Africa.
All right.
He's actually spoken on the mic a couple of times.
The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets?
Yes.
Okay.
Having trouble understanding that.
Well, you know, if you go back, for instance, let me point this out to you. I'm just going to give you a for instance here. If you go back to 14 and 13, it says, "Wherefore, let him that speaketh in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Did you notice what Paul was saying here? He said, "I will." I've heard people say that, well, you can't speak in tongues unless you're moved by the Spirit. But folks, you know, Paul said, "I will speak with tongues." He said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." Like he was bragging there that he spoke with tongues more than the rest of them. Well, what was it about Paul that caused him to speak in tongues more than the rest of them? He did it because he wanted to do it. He said, "I will." The spirits of the prophets are subject to prophets. Listen, you know what? I can speak in tongues anytime I want. Because when I begin to speak, the Holy Spirit just takes over. It's just automatic. And I can speak with my understanding also. Just like you can speak with your understanding, you can speak with the Spirit. When you get filled with that gift, it comes from God. So the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You know, even a prophet, like we were talking about a little earlier, when they prophesy. The thing about prophecy, when it comes through an individual, is because the individual is speaking in his own language and his mind can get involved, some of the prophet gets into the prophecy. You see, you know why God chose tongues? Because when you don't know what you're saying, you don't have a reason to change it. If you don't know what you're speaking, your reason does not get in there. Your mind does not get in there. And so you can give a tongue, and someone else who is standing by could give the interpretation. And it wouldn't be a personal thing. You know? So in this way, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And God's not a God of confusion. He tells the people in verse 26, "What is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one hath a psalm, hath a teaching, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying." So when you come together, you can speak with tongues? Yes, of course. Okay. "And if any man speaketh in a tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three." He's putting regulations and rules on speaking in tongues here. Why? Because the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Why? Because the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And let him speak to himself and to God. And let the prophets speak by two or three, and let the others discern. So, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. He's giving regulations here for the church to have things all done decently and in order. So, you know, there are people who think that prophecy takes precedent over the rules that Paul laid down here. That's not true. Because what Paul laid down here was of the Holy Spirit. In fact, he said in verse 37, "If any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord." See, these are the commandments of the Lord. He wants you to be subject unto the Lord here as far as regulating the gifts of the Spirit. So, we're back to this verse again. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. You know, even your conscience, folks, your conscience generally tells you to do right, not do wrong. But you have to tell, you have to educate your conscience about what is right and is wrong. Did you ever notice that? I remember back when I was a Catholic, I was told, hey, if you eat meat on Friday, you sin. But after I re-educated my spirit to understand that there's nothing wrong with eating meat on Friday, that that's just a regulation of men, then my conscience was clean and I could eat freely. You see, you have to educate yourselves about how the Holy Spirit would use the gifts. You have to educate yourselves about what it is to walk before God. You have to educate your conscience so that your conscience correctly tells you what's right and what's wrong. You know? And you have to educate your spirit to know how to be used of the gifts or not. Yeah, Terry?
I think that's what he was asking. Basically, how do they reveal to us what the Holy Spirit tells them, or do they tell us what their spirit tells them? I think what he's getting at is, how do you know when you have someone's prophesying, how do you know if it's truly of
the Lord? You know it's truly of the Lord?
Okay. Like it's a perfect
word. You know, that's one of the reasons that you really need to get into the Word of God, because the Word of God sharpens your senses. Hebrews chapter 5 speaks about that, having your senses exercised to discern good from evil. You get the Word of God in your heart, you'll be able to discern true from false prophecy.
Yeah, that's how come we know that's a false prophet right there. You just read that we know that America isn't going to be prosperous for the next 50 years.
No, that's a lie.
Because that's not what the Word says.
No.
That's contrary to the Word of God.
Contrary to the Word of God. And to common sense. Just stick your head, get your head out of the sand, look around you. I mean, that's all it takes. I mean, just common sense. You know what I mean? These people are wishful thinking prophets.
Word of God comes first. Word of God comes first. Then prophecy.
Yeah.
If it falls in line with the Word of God. That's why you have to know what the Word of God is first.
Yes.
First learn the Word of God, and then you can start dealing in prophecy.
Well, that's why we prophesy in part. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to grow with your gift. And the more discernment you have, the more you're able to put down thoughts that are yours that are not from the Word, you know. And so you just have to be careful. You have to be, you know, as you get discernment through the Word of God, you're able to judge what's from God and what's not from God.
I know there's been times you qualified whether or not you felt it was from God, or you just had a hunch, you know. You never wanted to be a false prophet, so you made clear that whether it was a prophecy or not.
If you listen to someone who has a spirit of divination instead of a true spirit of prophecy, after a while they'll trip themselves up. You'll figure them out. Mm-hmm. False prophets usually prophesy things that bring them gain, either through respect of people or the peace and safety thing, you know, or monetary gain or something like that. False prophets usually prophesy to profit them. Their name should be spelled P-R-O-F-I-T. Prophet. Prophet. Who you got, Terry?
Ezekiel 36:26. Is this a promise to the Jew or Gentile?
Well, both. The promise of the new covenant, right?
A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's a New Testament promise.
This is
a believer.
This is a promise of the new covenant that Jesus brought first to the natural Jew and then through his disciples to the Gentiles. This is the promise. He said, I will take you from among the nations. So So that's not just the physical Jew. That's talking about us too. You understand, when you're born into the kingdom of God, your kingdom is not of this world. Meaning you've just been taken from a nation. You see? For I will take you from among the nations, and I will gather you out of all the countries, and will bring you into your own land. Well, of course. You know, our own land is Israel. We've been grafted into the olive tree in Romans chapter 9, which he called, or excuse me, Romans chapter 11, which he called all Israel. We have come into our land. We stand on the promises of God, right? We rule as God. That's what Israel means, right? He will rule as God. Okay? I will take you from the nations and from the countries, and I will bring you into your own land, and I will sprinkle clean water upon you. There's that water again. That's the Word of God. And you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. Well, that really couldn't have been said about the Old Testament Jews, could it? No. You know what? Jesus came to do this. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. That's the born-again experience. Okay? And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit. In other words, I'll give you a new spirit, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep mine ordinances and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Yes, our spiritual forefathers, Peter and Paul and so on and so forth. We're dwelling in the same land of Israel that they did, you see. And I will save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the grain and so on and so forth. God's going to bless us. This is the promise of the covenant. Well, once again, we've come around to the place where we have to have a station identification. If you join us late, you are listening to the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Our website is americaslastdays.com. And you're listening on Spirit One Radio and American Liberty Radio at 89.1 FM on most of these stations. So now, we'll hear a word from our sponsor, which is the Word of God. Back to our sponsor here. Yes, this is a promise of the covenant. And, of course, it was offered first to the natural Jews and then to the spiritual Jews, those that are born from above. So, yeah, Terry?
Well, yeah, the next question is a good question, but I think it's going to take a lot to answer. Can you explain why Jesus said, in the day some will say to him, we cast out demons in your name, we healed in your name, and Jesus answered, I knew you not?
Matthew chapter 7.
Matthew chapter 7.
Yes.
How can some do these things in his name and he not know them?
Because they did it for profit.
Well, his word's true. I mean, he's given us the authority.
Can I point something out to you? Go to the text. I want to show you just one little word there that makes a big difference. Okay? Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. You can have gifts, folks. God gave gifts to all of his people that will accept them. But that don't mean you're walking in fruit. That doesn't mean you're walking in obedience to the Lord. You understand? He's talking about those that in their own personal life do the will of God. He said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. There they are, right there. He said, it's not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, but those that do the will of God. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord. See, there are many people that call him Lord today. But is he? If they're not submitting to the Word, he's not their Lord.
Worshiping with their heart for their lips.
Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name? Not in thy name, it's by thy name. By thy name. And by thy name cast out demons. And by thy name do many mighty works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. There's a difference in by thy name and in thy name.
Because Jesus Christ wasn't in them. But they were using the name of Jesus Christ.
They were using the name of Jesus. He's not saying that they weren't Christians. as we loosely use the term nowadays, they were just not obeying Christ. They were not abiding in Him. What is it to abide in Him? It is to walk as He walked. 1 John tells us that. See, you can be in the name of Jesus, which is representing Him, because you abide in Him, because you walk as He walked, or you can do it by the name of Jesus, like the seven sons of Sceva, by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. You see? There are people that have true gifts of God, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, listen. It's not the gifts that get you in the kingdom, it's the fruit. There are people who don't walk in fruit, but have gifts that God will use their gifts. But that don't mean they're going to be in the kingdom of God. They use their gifts, but they don't walk in obedience to the Word. The rest of this chapter tells us that. Look, verse 24. Everyone therefore, that hears these words of mine and doeth them, shall be likened to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock, which is what? The Word of God. And everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. And you know what? Some of these people have gifts of God. The gifts of God are without repentance. God gives them, and He won't take them back. Even if you don't live the life, you won't take them back. There are people that have gifts on the TV. Some of you watch the people on there with some gifts. Okay, but that don't mean they're living right. In fact, I can tell you for a fact, some of them aren't living right. May not even make it into the kingdom, even after God uses them. You know what God said of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Listen carefully here. Every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we do it to receive an incorruptible crown. We have to strive to exercise self-control in all things. Okay, what's Paul say? I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and so fight I as not beating the air. I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others. There's a gift, right? I myself would be rejected or reprobated. Same word, adokimos. Look, the Apostle Paul, who had great gifts, was saying that there's only one thing that can cause you to enter the kingdom. Self-control in all things. Self is not to rule your life. It's not to rule your body. And he was saying, even the great Apostle Paul was saying, that after he was greatly used of God, if he didn't keep his body in bondage, he would be reprobated, rejected of God. Well, if it's true of him, folks, it's true of us. The gifts do not endear you to God. They are just to be used for God. It's not the gifts, it's the fruit. Without the fruit, which is basically building your life upon the Word of God, obeying the Word of God. Remember what he said. So many people speak against obedience nowadays. I don't know where they get that. It's just a lying demon spirit in them. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. If you don't do the will of the Father, you're not going to be in the kingdom. Well, then, grace must actually save from sin, right? Well, unless you've got that greasy grace that some of the churches preach, that lascivious grace, that turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, a license to do what you want to do. See? But the truth is, grace saves from sin. It enables you to be obedient to Jesus Christ. Did you have something, Kurt?
I was just thinking earlier that the way the church has evolved today, you know, with a lot of the women getting into the pulpits and having a doctorate and taking over some of the churches as preachers and stuff like that. They may be some that stand before the Lord and say, didn't I do this and didn't I do that, you know. But the Bible says they usurped that position and authority and took it without the Lord's permission.
Yes, anybody that is out of the will of God for them because they're disobeying the Word, doesn't make any difference who it is. If you're not submitting to the laws that God gave for you, then you may be calling Him Lord, but you're not submitting to Him as Lord, because Jesus is the Word. How can you not submit to the Word and call Him Lord? The Lord is the Word. So repent. Read your Word. Make sure that you're submitting to it, whatever it demands of you.
They can also just be standing on part of the Word, but we were told to consume all of the Word.
The whole lamb.
The whole lamb, not just part of it. Or the death angel will come over and take your firstborn and first fruits. So, if you're not standing on the whole Word and consuming the whole lamb, then you're only standing on that part of the rock, and that rock could be very small. It could be just a pebble instead of the whole rock, and you could get washed away with the rest of the sand, which is what sand is just small rocks. So, it's stand on the whole Word.
Have you ever noticed how some religions make people feel really good because they're doing a particular thing? They're obeying a particular part of the Word, you know? So they just go round and round and round about what they're doing and brag that they're the only ones that are obeying that. But you know what, folks? There's a lot of religions do that and obey different parts of the Word. But you can't bear fruit unless you're a disciple and walk in all of what you see there. See, we need to repent and walk in all of what we see there. Not just pat ourselves on the back because we're doing this or that. You know, that's the way religion is. I've been in a couple of them, I know. Now they camp out around something that they are doing and like they've arrived, you know?
We have a couple of people with their hands up. Jeremy has his hand up, or Sean, or their friend Mark has a question.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. I just want to praise the name of Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And He's the reason, with the gift of His Son and the Holy Spirit, why we're all even here. So praise the Lord. And let's all continue to preach the good news to everybody we meet. I just wanted to share something that me and a couple of my brothers in Christ over here in Grand Rapids, Michigan are talking about the football game. I know this is old news, but it was the Patriots versus the Eagles. It was just reminding me of a house divided against itself will not stand. Just kind of a sign for Christians and watchmen all around the world. But I just wanted to share another little testimony. My friend Sean and I were driving around, and I was going to pick up a case of Bibles that I found for a couple of dollars a piece to pass out. And I know that God's Word does not return void, and Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, you know, finding a good place to worship is one thing, but if you guys are being kind of drawn out of the churches by the Lord, take that money that you're going to give to them and invest it in some Bibles. I actually was on my way to a store to do that, and the Lord kind of took a wrong turn, and that's like me. Normally I'm pretty precise about where I drive, and then I took another wrong turn, and I was thinking, Lord, are you sure this is what you want me to do today? Go pick up a case of Bibles? And so I prayed and pulled out my pocket New Testament, and while I was driving, and put my finger down on a word, and I said, you are approved. And that's a lot of the time the Lord reveals what He wants me to do if I just put my faith in Him, and He'll show me through His Word. So I went there, and things didn't go like they were planned, like I thought they would. The guy was kind of ornery. He didn't want to take my number down. I took his number down. He didn't really act like he even wanted to sell me the Bibles. They were out of them at that time. So we went and got lunch and went to another bookstore that happened to be adjacent or right behind where we were eating lunch. And there happened to be another Bibles for actually $1 a piece, full Bibles, New King James instead of the King James, which may be easier to read for some people. I actually know that American Standard Version is the most accurate that we can have as far as a whole Bible, and the numeric New Testament is actually the most accurate one that we have in English, unless you know Greek or Hebrew. But that's just a blessing, the way the Lord, you know, he had me take those wrong turns just to put my faith in him. He did want me to get those Bibles to distribute, but he did not want me to get them from that place. He had a better place in mind that I didn't know about, but it was just amazing how he worked. We just put our faith in him. And now I'm trying to recruit everybody I know to pass these Bibles out, and we know that God's Word doesn't return void. It's just a blessing to see someone's eyes light up when you hand them a Bible. Even if they don't even know, you know, you don't know if they're going to read it, we got to remember, we have a sovereign God, and he'll bring the time, he'll bring the interest of his will. And we know that it is, because he doesn't want anyone to not come to repentance. So, and if they're not going to use it, he'll make sure it gets in the hands of somebody that will. Praise the Lord.
You reminded me of this little, we have a little stack of the Gospel of John here. And the people that put it out are called Absolutely Free Incorporated. And their website is www.livingwater.org. And you can go there and get these little Gospels of John, which are, especially when you're preaching to the lost, that's probably the most important Gospel to pass out, is the Gospel of John. It has more spoken to it to the lost than the rest of the Gospels do. But you can get these little things and pass them out to people. And now, I don't know if Absolutely Free takes contributions. They probably do. But they give out the Word of God freely, which is what you're supposed to do anyway. So I just thought I'd add that note. A little commercial for them. I don't even know them. I know so many people have asked me, you know, where they can get Bibles to pass out, and that's one place right there.
Huh?
Deborah, she has a question.
Okay.
Well, hi there. Thanks for explaining the word ordinary. I was in America, but I never really fully understood what it meant. Anyway, that's not my question. I sort of said it in the room, but I just wanted to get up and talk on the mic because I'm an Aussie, and I heard you do like Aussies. Anyway, I've been a Christian for about 28 years, and for most of my Christian walk, I've always been in a church, I believe, in being part of a body. Before, you were talking about the spiritual gifts that operate in the church, and I think that, you know, it is important to be part of a body, but I'm being honest with you now, and I read my Bible every day, and I pray every day, and I try to walk with the Lord as I hear his voice, but it has been almost impossible for me to find a Bible-believing church in my hometown. And it really grieves my heart. I will go and I'll go to a church and I'll stick with it for a while, and I just really believe that it's a lot of man-made stuff these days. It's a lot of prosperity, word of faith teaching, all the stuff you were talking about before. And the thing is, you find that if you stay in that church for too long, because you want so much to be part of that body, you end up becoming like them, and it can be a really bad influence. And I found that, I mean, the internet is awesome and I find a lot of fellowship on the internet, but it's still not the same as fellowship with somebody in the real flesh, you know what I mean? And I just find that I struggle with that because I've always been taught that it's important to be part of a body, it's important to be part of the church. I want to serve God. Whenever I've been in the church, I've always done all I could to be a service to the people in the body. And I find it very difficult. And I just want to ask you, admins, is it actually the times, the end times, where the apostasy is increasing in the church? Is that the time that we're in? I feel that is it, that's it. But I just need confirmation. I don't want to be disobedient to God. If he wants me in a church, I'll be there. But I really find I can't stay in these churches. I don't believe they're truly hearing the voice of God, and I don't believe that they're following God. And I don't believe that they encourage the people in the church to study the Word of God. It's almost like a lot of them are very controlling. So, yeah, I'm sure that's a question other people have, but, you know, I do feel guilty, and it's a constant thing I feel. I feel, oh, I should be in a church, and I cry, I want to be in a church, but I really can't be part of those churches that I don't believe are following the Word of God. Thank you.
Well, Deborah, you brought up some very good points there, that we are a part of a body. We should seek to be part of the body. But to just go to church in order to be part of a church is, of course, contrary to the Word of God. The reason that we gather with the body is to receive the unleavened bread from one another. I mean, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, you know, that we're still to avoid the leaven. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Like you said, you can sit in those dead churches and just become just like them. And that's not God's calling. what we're called to be a part of is a church that looks like what we see there in the Bible. And of course, we should be seeking and asking God to bring us true disciples of Christ to have fellowship with. And believe me, God is going to do just that. He is going to bring people together in these days. And just rejoice, because the church is about to arise. It is true that we're in the last days, in a great falling away, and we don't need to be hung up in the synagogues of Satan, you know, so to speak. And it won't do us any good to... God is very practical, but it won't do us any good to gather under a bunch of people where there's just too much leaven to make it worth being there. And so, true, pray to God and ask Him to bring fellowship to you that are scriptural people, you know, that are disciples of Jesus Christ. And the overwhelming... But I don't know where you were from, Deborah.
She's from Australia.
From Australia, okay. Well, wherever you are,
Sunshine,
around the world, it's the same way. The overwhelming majority of what you call the churches are a waste of time. If you're reading the Bible, if you've read it one time, you should recognize that they are not the true church. I mean, honestly, folks, it was astounding to me when I first came into the kingdom and started reading the Bible day and night, that I went into a church that didn't believe the full gospel, and I didn't stay there a month, even though I knew some of the people there. I didn't stay there because I realized that they weren't believing the same Bible I was believing. You know, it's amazing that if you actually do that, you actually read the Bible with a respect for the Word of God, you just will not stay in some of these apostate institutions. And they won't feed you anyway. Where can you get fed better than being filled with the Holy Spirit and reading the Word of God for yourself? I don't get fed any better than that anywhere, honestly, because there's such pabulum being given to the people of God around this country. You'd starve to death. The TV preachers, you'll starve to death listening to those people, you know? And so where can you get it better? You meditate in the Word of God and ask the Holy Spirit to come to you and speak to you that Word, and He will show you wonders out of that Word. You know, you'd just be so excited, you know. It's still very exciting to me to read the Word of God and have the Holy Spirit speak to me. You don't have any need that any man should teach you. You have an anointing from the Holy One, you see. Does that mean we don't need fellowship? Absolutely not. I mean, we each one of us is called of God to receive certain gifts to share among the body. And we should be praying that God will make an opportunity for us to share our gift and others to share their gift with us. You know what? What we're doing here, a lot of people have told me, in the particular area that they are, they don't find scriptural fellowship. They don't find people that really respect the Bible. And so they fellowship with us in this way. And I agree with you, Deborah, that this is not the best. This is kind of a stopgap measure, you know, because it's not real fellowship, you know. But it is some fellowship. And we're not attempting to take the place of any local body that's scriptural, you know. This is just a bunch of us gathering together from around the world to share our particular things with one another and be blessed by one another. But a local fellowship is good. Pray to God that He will find scriptural people for you to fellowship with. And pray to God that you will have fellowship with the fivefold ministry: apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Because that's for the perfecting of the saints.
But we are to be weak to the weak and come together in the Spirit.
That's right. And we are coming together in the Spirit here, even though we can't do it in the flesh.
Yes, I've heard other people talk about that's come here, said they have prayed and asked the Lord to send fellowship to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been led here, they've been led other places, but they have been led somewhere in fellowship.
Yes. Yeah. We don't work well alone. We have to be dependent upon the rest of the body, you know. And certain things God won't give you except through the rest of the body, because He don't want people to be lone rangers, so to speak, you know. He wants us to be dependent upon the body. That's good.
I get that question a lot. You know, just like I talked this evening about do you have any contacts up in Detroit? There's a lot of people out there everywhere. Once they hear the truth, it's very difficult to find fellowship with other people who want to hear the truth.
Well, that's another thing, that they may not want to hear the truth, but something like when I was in at Pensacola Junior College, there are so many pagans. I've only found maybe 3 or 4 Christians that really cared what the Bible had to say. And even that was kind of worldly. They didn't want to hear all the truth. But the Lord did put me in a position where, like Paul said, you know, as a Jew, I became as a Jew. As a, you know, one under the law, I became as one under the law. Gave me a chance to be in a position where I could share the gospel with them in a way that they could understand, and they could see that without the Lord's healing of my mind, there's no way I could be in college. So there was a chance to fellowship with them. It's just not the same fellowship.
And part of the responsibility for us, once we do hear the truth, is to go out there and spread the truth and start a fellowship on our own.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you came here from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anybody here you could fellowship with. You started.
No, I didn't know anybody here.
You started it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all supposed to do. We're supposed to take the word, take the truth, and go out and
go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yeah.
Amen. I tell you what, it's give and it'll be given unto you. Sometimes people are hungry because they haven't learned to give. You give. The Holy Spirit will give to you, you know. You know, it's not just a matter of us playing church, coming together to play church, folks. We're getting prepared to pass it on. You know, we want to fulfill the Great Commission. You get Jesus in you so that you can pass Him on to others. You can't give away what you don't have, right? So we come together to get tanked up on Jesus, and we're able to...
fill up.
We're able to give away what we do have, right?
Yeah.
Such as I have, give I unto thee. Right?
There's many ways you can minister too, because I have quite a fun ministry, and more and more on the computer. And so there's many ways that you can, and then the customers that I have. You know, I just got to share yesterday with a lady about she lost her husband in an accident the same way that I lost my son. But she had, I trusted God to get me through the hard, you know, difficult times. And she had to go for therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't have that relationship with the Lord. So I got to share with her how God got me through, and they tried to give me drugs, and I told them no, that I knew that, you know, my faith in the Lord would get me through, and my friends praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
So there's many ways that you can share.
Absolutely. And, you know, being a disciple and discipling is... could very well be what God wants you to do right where you are, you know, in the business that you are, or whatever, you know. Every opportunity that the Lord makes, take it, you know. God wants His people throughout the world and in places where we will touch the lost around us, and not just in church. You know, obviously, going to church is not how you're going to reach the lost. Matter of fact, the early church, their evangelists went out and brought saved people into the church, not lost people into the church like they do nowadays. You know, the thing is, we need to do the work of an evangelist to bring them the revelations that God has given to us about the Christ, about the Word, and bring saved people in. Let me explain something here, Terry. Well, some of you that have joined us, especially on broadcasts, don't realize that what we're doing here is we're on Pal Talk, and people are joining us on Pal Talk, asking questions, sharing testimonies. Sometimes, and Terry is our moderator who sits at the monitor, and people send questions to him, and sometimes he reads them, and sometimes he gives them a mic if they want, and they join us. So you who are joining us by broadcast, we just want to let you know that's what's going on here.
Yeah, it was just a question about the draft being instituted before June.
Oh, really?
If you had any sense of it or not, I mean.
I don't. I do believe that the draft will be instituted, and I've been believing that for some time. And I don't know before June. I don't know that, but I do believe it's coming.
They have to.
It'll have to be.
If they're going to go to war with Iran, there's going to have to be a draft, because they're at their wits' end right now trying to keep people in. They're using the National Guard where they shouldn't be using the National Guard. They got untrained soldiers over there in Iraq doing the work of trained soldiers, and mm-hmm. It isn't working out. And National Guard are not re-enlisting, because that's not why they enlisted the National Guard, to go to war for 2 years or whatever.
There's only two reasons for a draft. A, you have too few people, and two, people don't want to join.
Right.
That's the only two reasons why you have a draft.
These soldiers that are coming back from Iraq, that they're in a war that they don't want to be in. They don't like going over there and killing innocent people. So it's not fun.
They got a bad taste in their mouth from Vietnam about that.
Yeah. So
well, what would you do if you believed what Jesus commanded us as Christians? Something that's not popular for the world, because it's not very patriotic, unless you're talking about patriotic to our kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. Okay, what would you do if you believed what Jesus commanded and turned the other cheek and resisted not the evil and loved your enemies and did good to them that speak despitefully use you? What would you do if you that was your conscience and they drafted you? Now, people have asked me that. Well, if you have a conscience of that, as far as I know, there's still an opportunity to be a conscientious objector. And or they may put you into a place where you're helping people rather than killing people. That's a possibility, too. Maybe Bill could tell me more about that. He was in the military a lot closer than me.
Yeah, it's a lot better if you start out being a conscientious objector than... You go over there and start killing people and become a conscientious subject.
You get in trouble that way.
Yeah. You're going to start right off from the bat saying, look, I'm not going to kill nobody because I'm horns to me. And I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to turn the other cheek and all that stuff. But I talked to Mike one time, Mike Sindrum. He was in the German Army in World War II. And he was a Christian. And I asked him, had he ever killed anybody? And if he told me, he said, if I did, it was purely by accident, because I always aimed high. You know, even if you find yourself in a situation where somebody's telling you to kill somebody, you don't have to kill somebody. Nobody can force you to take somebody else's life.
This guy was drafted by everybody. Mike Sindrum. How many armies was he in? Three or four?
Well, he was fighting for Hitler over there in World War II as a teenager. He got drafted as a teenager, and then he was taken prisoner by the Russians after the Russians invaded Berlin, and he escaped from the Russians, and he made it to the West, and he made it to the United States, and then once he got over here, Eisenhower said that anybody that wants to become an American citizen, all I have to do is join the army. So he actually joined the U.S. Army and went back to Germany as a U.S. soldier.
Yeah.
So he had quite a history there.
Well, you know what? We probably need to wind things up here. Let's pray. Bill, you want to pray for us?
Okay. Father in heaven, we pray for those people out there that need fellowship and are desiring the truth. And we ask you, Father, to put these people together, Father. It's your way for us to... You've made it to where we need each other. And we ask you that those people out there are seeking the truth and seeking fellowship, that you provide them that fellowship, Father. put us together, Father, bring us together. And we thank you for that, that we can fulfill your wishes and through our desires, and you put that desire in our heart, Father, to fellowship with other like believers. So we thank you for bringing us all together. Bring us together in the spirit and the flesh so we can fill the scripture and go out there and spread the gospel and the truth. And so we can be all the called out ones. We can come out of the church into the so-called Christian church and be part of your church, Father, the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for. And we thank you for David. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for the broadcast and the pal talk. And we can go out there right now and spread the truth. And we thank you for the truth that we've heard here tonight. And we ask that it plants seeds out there and goes out there and spreads the gospel to other places. Thank you. Pray this in the name of
the
Son of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Father. And you know what, folks? Let me tell you something. There's a brother out there at Spirit One Broadcasting that's been broadcasting our Pal Talk Bible studies and a lot of our MP3s and stuff. And he's doing it freely. And blessing, if you get a chance, is spirit1.us. That's their home site. And his name is Pastor Bob Heffel. So bless him if you get a chance, because he's blessing us. He's making an opportunity for our words to get out there. And that's just, it's great. It's a great blessing. Also, go to our site. It's americaslastdays.com. You'll find a lot of good teaching and revelation there, and we hope you'll be blessed by it. There's some good materials there, some wonderful folks that have a faith ministry there are providing those materials. Bless them too. Bless them so that they can bless you. And we thank you so much for being with us.
One more quick thing about this draft thing. I heard that nobody can force you to take an oath. If you don't take the oath, they can't force you to take it. And if you don't take that oath, then they can't draft you. So, and as a Christian, you can't take an oath.
No, we really are forbidden. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, folks, but you really are forbidden in the Scriptures to make an oath or swear or anything like that. So God bless you. We love you. Come back and meet with us Sunday. As a matter of fact, we're going to come together again at 7:30 Central Time and fellowship again. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.